Turn to Philippians chapter 2. I started a series several weeks ago, and I'm still on it. And I guess if we preach on Jesus until He comes, the Lord would be pleased with that. We've certainly gotten a long way from Him and the message of the Bible. And I have dealt with just a few verses here, bringing them down verse by verse. And I want to look at a few this morning and probably only get to another point in this message. As I've been dealing with the subject on whose son is he, Jesus said, saying to us from the New Testament, on what we think of Christ and whose son he is determines our hope in the Lord. And we will never settle the sin question until we settle the son question. And here in Philippians, the writer breaks down so many different points about the Son of God. In chapter 2 and verse 5, He said, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now we dwelt a couple of messages in dealing with the fact that He is the sovereign Son of God, equal with God. And we need to realize that, and I'm not going to re-preach those messages, but you have to understand that He was God manifest in the flesh. Not part God and part man, all God and all man. And it's important that you understand that for you to understand His power and ability to bring forgiveness into your life. And then He went on to say, "But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and being found in fashion as a man." And I'm stopping right there, not because there's not more to deal with in that verse, but you don't want me to go into the next step. Today will be enough, trust me. We dealt with the fact that He is the sovereign Son of God. We also dealt with the fact that He is the supernatural Son of God. Nobody was ever born like Jesus was born. And because He was born that way, He is in the likeness, the Bible said, He came in the likeness of men and was fashioned as a man. So He also is the sinless Son of God, even though that He was formed like a man. Now, I mentioned Wednesday night that the heart of this message deals with the virgin birth of Christ. And most people only talk about the virgin birth at Christmas time. And then it's just mentioned slightly and passed on. And now the virgin birth is no longer one of the pillars of the doctrines of the church. Which in reality, if we do not believe in the virgin birth, we don't have a gospel to preach. We don't have redemption. We don't have a means to go to heaven. See, you have to accept it the way that it's written and the way that it is. And I'll add this. If He was not born of a virgin, you trust me, in this scientific age that we live in today and through all of the times that have passed by, now as men have scrutinized His birth, there is no doubt whatsoever that they would have found a flaw somewhere in it. But after 2,000 years, it still stands. He was born of a virgin. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. The hope of salvation and our redemption lies in the message of the virgin birth. If you do not believe in the virgin birth, then you tear down the Word of God completely. If you reject the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, you say, first of all, that Matthew and Luke were mistaken because they both took great pain in telling us He was born of a virgin. That this virgin brought forth a son and wrapped Him in swaddling clothes and they would find Him lying in a manger. Not only that, but the Bible would contain false accounts. And if the Bible contains false accounts, and if the Bible is filled with things that are not true, you could not discern what is true and what is not truth. And pretty soon there's nothing that you can stand on as an absolute. If you don't accept the virgin birth, and if you reject the virgin birth, you're saying the doctrine of the infallible inspiration of God's Word is broken down. Because it is the foundational premise for the plan of salvation to you and I. If you're saying that you do not believe in the virgin birth, you're saying that Mary is a liar. For she said that she knew not a man. Not only did God's word refer to her as a virgin, she said she knew not a man. If you're saying that you reject the virgin birth, you're saying that the birth of Jesus Christ, Mary would have had an illegitimate child named Jesus. Now that seems to be the most popular new doctrine that's going around, that Jesus was born as an illegitimate child, that no one knows the Father. Can I say this? For those that believe it, they're right. They don't know the Father, but thank God I know who the Father is. The family tree is recorded in Scripture, and there's a pattern of it from the Old Testament forward, whose Son that He is. He is the only begotten of the Father. We are sons of God through the power of Christ and the power of the blood, but we were not born as the Son of God. Only Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. Finally, prophecy fails. You can't believe anything that God has recorded prophetically because the virgin birth was prophesied in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. See, all of this started, and we forget sometimes that we need to go back to how things started and why we have this wonderful plan of redemption. And I'm going to do my best not to keep you long this morning, but I can't promise. When you go back to, you have to go back to the book of Genesis. You know the account that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. And when God formed man out of the dust of the earth, God did an amazing thing. Where did Adam get his blood? Came from God. Your blood didn't come from God. Your blood came from your mother and your father. Adam didn't have a mother. He had a father. Stay with me. Now, if you're not up to thinking, you're in the wrong place today. Someone said, well, it's impossible for a virgin to have a child. How could a virgin have a child? Well, if God could make a man without a woman, God can surely cause a woman to have a child without a human father. No more impossible one way than the other. So that's why the attack is always first on creationism and second of all on the virgin birth. Because that becomes the solid central points for all of our theology and what we believe. So God breathed in the nostrils of this man that He formed, and I hope that you don't mind if I use common language today, from dirt. We're all dirt. We're all dirt. We came from the dust. We return to the dust. We're dirt. And He breathed in the nostrils of man, and the Bible says that man became a living soul. The human race now has dirt and a soul. Now, when God formed Adam, both were intended to be eternal. The body and the soul. But God told Adam, out of all the trees of the garden, you can eat, but the day thou eatest thereof, and pointed to the one tree, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, people that try to attack the Bible will say, well, he ate of it, and he didn't die, but he did. The soul could not die. A million years from now, your soul will be somewhere. Somebody said, well, what about the second death? That is dying without ending. The soul never ends, never ceases to be. There was a time when you were not. There will never be a time when you won't be again. A million years from today, 10 billion years from today, your soul will be somewhere. Only two destinies of the soul, a wonderful place called heaven and a horrible place called hell, and hell will be cast in the lake of fire, the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelation. So man became a living soul. So now this dirt with the Spirit of God in him, he breathed in the nostrils of man and man became a living soul. The Spirit of God is now in him. And there's life. God didn't stop there. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26 makes a statement that you've read over and over and over again, but if you're not careful, maybe you'll overlook it. And don't worry, I'm building a premise. I know where I'm going with all this. Genesis 1:26. When you find it, say amen. 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 And God said, let us. Who's us? Elohim. Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, the same word that we read to you from Philippians, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God said, I am going to give dominion to man, to them. Who's them? Humankind. Dirt and spirit. Now, God didn't give dominion to the fish in the sea or the birds in the air. God didn't give dominion. He said the only one that's getting dominion is the one that I formed. And those that come from the one that I formed, they have dominion over all of the earth. I fear to get quiet right there. See, here's how it worked. God come to Adam. When he came to Adam, this represents the authority of everything in all of the earth, everything that crawls, everything that flies, and if you're in doubt, it's everything. The whole earth. You've got authority over it. It's yours. And God walks away and Adam goes back to the garden. Now, somebody says, why didn't God stop Adam from sinning? He couldn't. He couldn't? No. Because God is not a man that he should lie. And God said to Adam, I've given you dominion. And if I've given you dominion, I haven't given it to you if I take it back. The dominion is yours. The authority is yours. See, this settles a great problem of people that want to preach and teach to you that man doesn't have a choice. Man has a choice because God, in His omnipotent wisdom, gave man the authority. Gave man the right to choose. The authority is yours. God said, I don't have the authority over it now. He could have taken it by power, by force, but God would have lied. And God cannot lie. God has never lied. That's why the Word of God says, as I liveth, thus saith the Lord, because God says, as long as I am alive, everything that I say is true. I cannot lie. And since He's never going to die and has always been, His Word will endure forever. So He gave him the authority. Adam sinned. God came down in the cool of the day and said, Adam, what's the next question? Where art thou? Do you really think God was asking Adam that God didn't know where Adam was at? See how easy we read things and get things in our mind? That question doesn't mean, Adam, I don't know where you're hiding. I know the very tree you're behind. I know where you pulled the leaves from to cover yourself. I know all of that. That's not what God is talking about. God's saying, Adam, where art thou? What God was looking at was the authority that He had given to Adam. He said, Adam, you are not in your rightful place of authority. When you sin, you have now lost your dominion, because the equation is dirt with the Spirit of God has dominion. And when flesh sinned, now you've broken the equation. He still has a spirit, but the body is now dying. God said, you are not at the place that I intended you to be. You are now out of the order that I have placed you, because you have abused your authority that I have given to you. I can't stop you from doing that. You could choose to do that. But now, Adam, the whole human race has fallen. When are we going to get this? It is an issue of authority. When you get to Revelation, God puts us back in our rightful place of authority. Yeah, we get a perfect body. And we're also kings and priests. We rule and we reign with Christ. We have a hard time with that, don't we? See, that's why the problem, once our loved ones die, the spirit is now separated from the body. But the body goes back to dirt, where it came. To be absent from the is to be present with the Scripture. Now, if that be true, that also means that God intended for us to have a body that didn't die with a spirit that doesn't die. Glory to God. I'm sorry, I know where I'm going. That's what God intended for man to have. But in reverse order, there are also evil spirits, devils, demons. And if devils and demons, they cannot act out what they want to act out without dirt, they're the wrong spirit in a body. So they need dirt to fulfill their desires. They have to have flesh to fulfill that. See, if it doesn't work this way, then it doesn't work in reverse. Do you know why? That we can cast out devils in Jesus' name? Because He gave us the keys to the kingdom to have authority, that it works in reverse. He also says if the wrong spirit is inhabiting dirt, then in Jesus' name, you have the authority through Jesus Christ to cast that out. So when he came, he said, "Where art thou? Adam, you're not where you're supposed to be. You're out of order." That's the problem. We don't get it. This world's not going to get better. And sin's not going to stop. Because now it's like a pyramid that's turned upside down. Now it's out of order. And only God can put it back into order. And now man has been enticed by the wrong spirit. And Adam said, "Hey, it's not me." He said, "You know, this woman you gave me, well, Lord, you know her. You know her better than I do. If you live with her every day, you've done the same thing." And God said, "I'm looking for somebody to take responsibility for this." The woman said, "It's not me, it's the serpent." And the Lord turned to the serpent, which of course was the possession of the evil spirit of Satan himself speaking through this serpent, and he didn't have a leg to stand on. And God said, "You're going to have to crawl from here on out on the dust on your belly." God said, thank you. Right over, some of you got it. Snake, no leg to stand. Yeah. Okay. You still with me? God could not break His word. In other words, God couldn't come back to Adam and say, "I want it back." But God said, "Oh, Satan, I can't take it back because it would break my word." When God says something, it's law. It's not a suggestion, it's not an idea, not a good intention. When God says it, it's law. But God said, "Satan, I have a plan." Now, I'm not going to tell you when, Satan, because I control the plan. But I do have a plan. It's not going to be coincidence. Bless His name. And it's not going to be chance. But the woman, from the seed of woman, can you imagine how confused the devil was when the Lord made that one statement? How confused that Satan was? The seed is not in the woman. The seed is in the man. Seed comes from the men, not from the women. But he said, from the seed of woman, there'll come one that he'll bruise your head. And you'll bruise his heel. The seed. The seed in the woman? How can this be? It takes a human man, human woman together, mother, father, one with egg, one with seed. That's how we get the life that we know as a child that is born now. But he said, I've got a plan. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm not going to reveal it to you. But now, here we are, 6,000 years later, and we see the plan as it's unfolded. What God said, he turned to Adam and he said, this is what I want you to do now. I can't take it back, but you go and reproduce. In other words, make me some more dirt. Make me some more dirt. So Adam started to replenish the earth. And Adam had Seth. And Seth gave some dirt by the name of Enos. And Enos gave some dirt, and his name was Canaan. And Canaan gave some dirt, and his name was Malel. And Malel gave some dirt, and his name was Jared. Jared had some dirt, and his name was Enoch. Enoch had some dirt, and his name was Methuselah. They thought, surely it's restored. But now, he lived over 900 years, the oldest man recorded in Scripture. He'll never die, but Methuselah died. And Methuselah gave some dirt named Lamech. And Lamech gave some dirt named Noah. And Noah, he produced some dirt named Shem. And Shem produced some dirt named Arphaxad. And Arphaxad produced some dirt named Canaan. And Canaan produced some dirt named Selah. And Selah produced some dirt named Eber. And Eber produced some dirt named Phanech. And Phanech produced some dirt named Rehu. And Rehu produced some dirt named Sherug. And Sherug produced some dirt named Nahor. And Nahor produced some dirt named Terah. And Terah produced some dirt named Abraham. And Abraham produced some dirt named Isaac. And Isaac produced some dirt named Jacob. And Jacob produced some dirt named Judah, the very tribe that he was to come from. And Judah produced some dirt named Perez. And Perez produced some dirt named Hezron. And Hezron produced some dirt named Aram. And Aram produced some dirt named Amminadab. And Amminadab produced some dirt named Nashon. And Nashon produced some dirt named Salmon. And Salmon produced some dirt named Boaz. And Boaz produced some dirt named Obed. And Obed produced some dirt by the name of Jesse. And Jesse produced some dirt. And that name was David. And David, oh glory, produced some dirt. And that name was Nathan. And Nathan produced some dirt. And the name was Mattah. And Mattah produced some dirt. And the name was Minnah. And Minnah produced some dirt. And the name was Malaya. And Malaya produced some dirt. And Eliakim was born. And Eliakim produced some dirt. And the name was Jonah. And Jonah produced some dirt. And the name was Joseph. Joseph produced some dirt, and his name was Judah. Judah produced some dirt. His name was Simeon. And Simeon, he produced some dirt. His name was Levi. Levi produced some dirt. And his name was Matthias. And Matthias produced some dirt. And his name was Joram. And Joram produced some dirt. And his name was Eliezer. And Eliezer produced some dirt. And his name was Joshua. And Joshua produced some dirt. And his name was Ir. And Ir produced some dirt. And his name was Adam. And Adam produced some dirt. His name was Kusam. And Kusam produced some dirt. And his name was Adai, and Adai produced some dirt, and Micaiah was born, and Micaiah was born and produced some dirt, and his name was Neri. Neri produced some dirt, and his name was Shealtiel. Shealtiel produced some dirt, and his name was Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel produced some dirt, and his name was Resa. And Resa produced some dirt, and his name was Jonah. And Jonah produced some dirt, and his name was Jodah. And Jodah produced some dirt, his name was Joseph. And Joseph produced some dirt, and his name was Simeon. And Simeon produced some dirt, and his name was Mattathias. And Mattathias produced some dirt, and his name was Maoth. And Maoth produced some dirt, and his name was Nagai. And Nagai produced some dirt, and his name was Esli. And Esli produced some dirt, his name was Nahum. And Nahum produced some dirt, and his name was Amos. Amos produced some dirt, and his name was Mattathias. And Mattathias produced some dirt, and his name was Joseph. And Janiah was born out of Joseph. And Janiah then brought forth some dirt named Melchi. And Melchi brought forth some dirt named Levi. And Levi brought forth some dirt named Mathot. And Mathot brought forth some dirt named Eli. And Eli brought forth some dirt named Joseph. And then there was Mary, which resulted in the birth of Jesus Christ. 77 generations.
generations. 77 generations from the time that Adam fell. God said, now in the womb of Mary, I've got some dirt. Just coincidence. It's 77. Just coincidence. They're broken down into numbers of 11 seven times. Really do you good to read your Bible every now and then. That would shut the mouth of these people that don't know what they're talking about. God said when Mary came, 77 generations later came the greatest generation of all, because 77 generations, God's only begotten, the fullness, the completeness became the 777. And He's going to clobber the 666 when He gets back to. Thank God He's in control of all of it. And there in the womb of that one that had never known a man, that plan of redemption was being fulfilled. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and she conceived and brought forth a son, and His name is Jesus. It's all about authority. Immediately the devil went to work, tried to have Him killed as a baby. They sought after Him. 3.5 years into His earthly ministry, they finally put it in the hearts of those that He hath blessed and those that have loved Him even to betray Him and crucify Him. See, He was in the likeness of flesh. The dirt had to die. The equation could not be complete. The authority could not come back. God couldn't take it back. But God had a plan that we could get it back. Being found in likeness of flesh, He condemned sin in the flesh. When He died on Calvary's cross, and they buried Him and said, that's it. No authority. On that first resurrection morning, thank God He came forth with a glorified body. How did He have a body that worked like that? It wasn't a body as we know it now. Not a body of flesh and blood, a body of flesh and bone. But it didn't need blood. Why? Why didn't the resurrected body need blood? Because God had a plan. It started out with the blood in Adam. But now God has a plan that He says, what I'm going to do is give you a body that is a supernatural, spiritual body that will live on the mighty power and Spirit of God. Just as Adam came to life, we'll come to life. And there's coming a day for every one of us that when these bodies die and they take our body and we go back to the dust, don't you fret and don't you worry. There's coming a time when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we'll have a glorified body likened unto the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, and we'll be in a place where authority will be restored. Perfection. Authority. Adam gave it away. But God had a plan. That's why I guess I got so worked up today when they started singing, I am redeemed. 4,000 years in the process, but hallelujah, it came. 4,000 years, every sacrifice pointed to it. 4,000 years, everyone that was born, they were fulfilling what God was wanting to do. 4,000 years they'd looked for the Messiah. But I can stand with all assurance and tell you, He was born of a virgin. The Messiah has come. He did die. He did raise from the grave. And hallelujah, He is coming again. You can rest assured God's Word will come to pass. It started with prophecy. That's why at the virgin birth, is rejected. Now, some of you are going to have a hard time swallowing this. You can't be saved if you don't believe it. Because he can't be the sinless Son of God if he wasn't virgin born. Me, you, every one of us, we were shapen in our sin, in our iniquity. In sin and transgressions, we were conceived. That doesn't mean that the act of our conception was sinful. It means that is passed on to us. There had to be a plan. And the plan was Jesus. Supernatural, sinless, and sovereign Son of God. Boy, I'm only 3 sermons into it and I'm having a good time. Hear what I'm saying as they come to get a song of invitation today. I guess the point of the message is this. Quit thinking this was all just happen, chance, and accident. Just because God gave man authority didn't mean that God lost control. God was still in control of our eternal welfare. And God is still in control of your eternal welfare and my eternal welfare. It lies in the fact, it's just this simple. Right now, until total authority is given back, where we have perfected body, with perfected Spirit of Christ. We have authority now through the Spirit of Christ that's in us. If the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead be in you, the Bible teaches. We have authority, but not perfected authority. We still die. But you need to understand that authority is enough to get you through this sinful world. That power is enough to bring about the forgiveness that you need. It didn't just happen. It wasn't coincidence. It's not chance that you're here this morning. It's not accident that you're here this morning. God has brought you to this place for such a time as this that you could hear the gospel of Jesus. Not the gospel of Rubyville, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That He will forgive you of your sin and redeem your soul. And then in the end, we will also have a redeemed body just like our soul that will live forever and never die. That's the promise of the Word of God. But you've got to have the Spirit of Christ in you. How does that happen? By coming and saying, Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten of the Father. I believe you are the embodiment of the plan of redemption. I believe you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Take my sin away. Take my sin away. And there is power in His Spirit to live a victorious Christian life. Hallelujah.